Hi there. I'm Paul Boger, host of KNPR State of Nevada. Enjoy this conversation from the show. If you like it, please follow us, and thanks.
A couple of bombshells landed on the gaming industry in the past month. First, Caesars Entertainment said it would be bought by billionaire Tilman Fertitta for $17.6 billion per shareholder and regulatory approvals. Fertitta owns three Golden Nugget properties in Nevada. Then People Incorporated made an $18 billion offer to buy MGM Resorts. People is a publishing company headed by businessman Barry Diller, and it's already MGM's largest shareholder. MGM's board of directors, which includes Diller, is reviewing the deal. Gaming companies and casinos get bought and sold all the time. However, these two purchases involve the two biggest operators in the state, where just on the Strip they have 23 total properties. How might this affect Las Vegas tourism and operations of all of those destinations? David McKee is a longtime gaming reporter with a column at the Las Vegas Advisor. He's also an editor at Casino Life. David, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you, Paul.
For many Nevada residents, news of the potential sale of these giants may come as a bit of a surprise. You know, were there signs of these sales coming?
Anytime you hear gaming executives talking about how their stock is not valued as highly as it should be, it's a sign that they're shopping for a buyout.
So no surprise there. Then let's talk about the Caesars Entertainment offer first. It's for almost $18 billion and includes Caesars' debt load of nearly $12 billion. You recently wrote that debt servicing was one of two Achilles' heels for the economic performance of the Strip. That could worsen should both of these deals go through. How so?
The Caesars purchase, two-thirds of that price of $17.6 billion, is going to be debt. The company already pays $2.3 billion a year to pay down the interest on that debt. There's been little sign of that debt being retired. Some of it dates back to 2008 when Gary Loveman took Caesars private in a disastrous leveraged buyout. So that debt is theoretically old enough to vote as we speak. It's a situation where Caesars is going to be, they're going to take an already onerous debt burden and compound it even further. So it's a huge wager that the Las Vegas economy is not only going to stay good, but it's going to improve, because it has to in order for this deal to succeed.
Fertitta currently owns 12.6 million of shares of Wynn Resorts. Is that a conflict of interest between those shares and his potential ownership of Caesars? And would that need to be addressed before any of this could be resolved?
I don't expect it to be addressed, because Nevada has such a lax gambling regulatory system. But broadly, it's a conflict. Narrowly, not so much, because Wynn is strictly high-end focus. Caesars is kind of weak on the high end. They're a middle market, low-end sort of company. So if anything, I think what this puts in play down the road is Fertitta trying to roll the two companies together so that he has one gargantuan casino company that's strong in the low, middle, and high end.
Speaking of that lower end casino chain, the Golden Nugget, has he done a good job operating that?
It really depends on who you ask. Unfortunately, the casinos are privately held, so we in the media don't get a lot of transparency into what's going on there. They have a reputation of being overpriced, of squeezing the video poker pay tables, for one thing. When Fertitta was still in the publicly held sphere, and a Fertitta insider told me some very unflattering things about the operating model of Tilman's restaurants, and it wouldn't surprise me if the same philosophy held over to his casinos. Their performance varies greatly. The Golden Nugget in Atlantic City is circling the drain. The Golden Nugget in Lake Charles, Louisiana, is doing very well. It's very difficult to generalize about the Golden Nugget casino chain.
Let's move on to the MGM deal. People Inc. is not a gaming or hospitality company. What impact could that have on them joining the hospitality industry?
Well, it depends on how much understanding they have of the hospitality industry, which it sounds like they don't have a lot at present. So are they going to trust Bill Hornbuckle and his brain trust at MGM? Or are they going to second guess how they're operating primarily on the strip, but also elsewhere in the country? And there are already signs that they're second guessing what MGM is doing internationally. So I think the jury is very much out on this one as opposed to Caesars, whereas Fertitta in that case is well seasoned in the casino realm. As you said, Diller's company is not, his SPAC is not gaming experience. So this is going to be a very interesting situation if it plays out.
You know, these company mergers usually come with consolidation or view of expenses, bottom line, usually employee layoffs. Is there any concern of that at this point?
I haven't heard anything about employee layoffs. In order to merge Caesars and the Golden Nugget, what you would probably see is some decimation at the middle management and upper management levels. He'll still need people to run the physical casinos. But MGM, I don't know. They could try to justify the expense of the buyout by decimating employees. As far as you could definitely see an upward pressure on sales at both upward pressure on sales on prices at both companies as they try to make their nut on these heavily leveraged buyouts.
David, we got about 10 seconds left. Is this a good move for the gaming industry or a bad move?
Very bad unless the economy rebounds incredibly.
David McKee is a longtime gaming reporter with a column at the Las Vegas Advisor. He's also an editor of Casino Life. David, thanks again.
Thank you.
As a note, MGM, Caesars, and Wynn are all financial supporters of Nevada Public Radio. So, how do casino mergers affect the casinos and their patrons? KNPR's Mike Privat put the question to gaming historian and UNLV professor David Schwartz earlier this week. Here's that conversation.
David, welcome back to State of Nevada.
Yeah, glad to be back.
Hey, we're glad to have you here. I want to go back to the year 2000 for a minute. That's when the company known as MGM Grand Inc. bought Mirage Resorts and then became MGM Mirage. And then 5 years later, MGM Mirage bought Mandalay Resort Group, and this gave MGM ownership of virtually all the properties on the west side of the strip between Russell and Spring Mountain. And then they also owned MGM Grand and Circus Circus as well. I'm wondering if all of that changing of hands affected the casinos in any considerable way.
Yeah, it definitely caused a lot of consolidation and was part of a bigger trend in Vegas towards fewer companies owning more.
And I'll ask the same question about Caesars Entertainment, whose own evolution in the last 30 years has been marked by either them buying gaming entities or being bought by them and spinning off companies and so forth. And just to take a specific property, something as iconic as Caesar's Palace, can major changes to a property like that be attributable to the changing of ownership of its parent company? Or do properties mostly change and grow because of external things like economic forces or customer demand?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both, but when you have one company owning multiple properties, they can slot the properties at different parts of the market, so that will affect how they position them.
And do you feel that, all of these corporate changes that have happened in Vegas have signaled a major shift in operations from the way that casinos were operated 40, maybe 50 years ago?
Well, there's definitely been a shift in that time, and mostly it's because of, like you said, who is owning them. And when they were owned by the small groups, basically they just had to satisfy them. But once you're publicly traded, you now have lots of people who want to see growth every quarter. So that's going to impact how they run.
Now, I want to talk about the people that patronize these casinos. Just as an example, I remember my parents were once loyal customers of the Luxor, but when MGM laid off their casino host after that 2005 merger, they were pretty angry and they defected to the Caesars property that ultimately picked up that casino host. And before that even happened, I'd hear them grumble about changes that MGM had already made at Luxor. Are patron attitudes like this sort of part and parcel of ownership change on the strip? Or I guess maybe put another way, is the impact of those buyouts significant on the patron?
I think so, because nobody's going to buy a property to keep it the same. So there's going to be changes once that happens. That could be personnel. as happened in that case. It could be something as simple as where they're getting their toiletries from. You know, it could be a whole range of things.
Do you feel that the hospitality aspect of these properties gets lost in the shuffle when these companies are now starting to focus on, as you said earlier, consolidation and the streamlining of operations, you know, despite the fact that this is a major hospitality mecca in the country?
Yeah, it definitely changes the nature of what the properties are. And when you have people who are responsible for one, they're going to have a different level of care than when they're responsible for many. And again, it could just affect how they're positioning them within Vegas itself.
Now, People Incorporated, this is the company that's trying to buy MGM Resorts. They're not a gaming or hospitality company. They're largely a publishing company. And I'm wondering if there were previous instances where a company that was also not in gaming or hospitality bought and operated a Vegas casino, and that property remained successful.
Everybody's got to start somewhere. When Caesar's Palace changed hands the first time, it was bought by Lum's, who were famous for hot dogs soaked in beer, cooked in beer, and later they became Caesar's World after they acquired Caesar's. So everybody's to start somewhere.
David, as a historian, are these recent buyout offers just kind of old hat at this point? Maybe another case of, well, the more things change, the more they stay the same.
I think it's a lot about the evolution, and we went through the period first where you had more independent owner-operators, then we had more consolidation, publicly traded companies, and now we may be evolving to the next stage. You know, also the real estate investment trusts owning many of the properties themselves adds another layer to all this.
And that's David Schwartz. He is a gaming historian and UNLV professor. David, thanks again for your time.
Thanks for having me.